following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to talk today about blood, sweat, and tears. Not the band. Not the band. How many of you vividly remember the band, by the way? Anybody? Yeah. Remember their spinning wheels? How many of you felt like back in the 60s, your wheels were spinning? Anybody else? You felt like you were stuck back then? You remember their song, I Can't Move No Mountains? How many of you felt that way? By the way, I don't remember what any of the words were to these songs, but You Made Me So Very Happy, and When I Die, I love this title, and God Bless the Child. The purpose of the blood, sweat, and tears we're going to look at today was for God to bless the child. The man, the woman, the boy, the girl, to bless everyone and to give us eternal life. You all know that story, but it's interesting where that first comment of the blood, the sweat, and the tears was found. We'll get to that in a second, but open your Bible to Isaiah 53 and follow along with me. I just want to read that chapter to you with, I can't promise, but I think almost no comment. I'm just going to let the word speak for itself here. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is speaking of Christ prophetically. And as a root out of the dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. I'm going to break my promise. You would have too. The description of Jesus on the day of his crucifixion, you would have hidden your face. If you had seen it, you would have said, there's nothing beautiful there. You would have said the same thing, no beauty, nothing to desire there, despised and rejected, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces, verse 3 at the end. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Would everyone say, bah, with me? We all have. And we've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. This is a strange verse. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Doesn't mean he enjoyed it. It meant it had to be done. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Whose sins might those have been? Mine and yours. He will bear their iniquities. And therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. How many? He bore the sin of every single one of us. What's demonstrated, what's described, I should say, in Isaiah 53 is just in part the blood, the sweat, and the tears that poured from Jesus' body as he labored to save you and to save me. When I said, you know, let's hear you talk like a lamb. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's not a clean one among us. How many of you have ever felt like, I think I was just born to do bad stuff? Anybody ever feel that way? I just can't seem to do anything but bad stuff. Whether it's my actions, my thoughts, my words, the meditation of my heart, I can't seem to get past the bad stuff. You weren't born to do bad stuff, but you do bad stuff because you're born with bad genes. I'm not talking about Levi or Lee. You're born with bad, you're born broken like all of us are born broken. And that's why Jesus had to come. How many did he die for? We know how many. All. Every soul that would ever live. Blood would be shed for every single one of them. So it's interesting to me that back in my day, when in the 60s, the late 60s, Al Kooper was putting together this sort of jazz, blues, rock band and wanted to find a name for his band, which, by the way, you know how many people have been in Blood, Sweat, and Tears? Over 140 people have been in that band. They've been through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and toil, and torment in that band. They can't seem to hold on to people. And they're still around today. There's a new iteration of them today, a new version of them today. But it's interesting that they chose the name Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Where did they get that name? Well, they might have most recently picked it up from a speech. Anybody know? Sir Winston Churchill. On May 13th, 1940, he challenged the people of England to fight to the death, if necessary, for their very existence as a nation in standing up against the Nazi machine. Now, others, there's other quotes from Sir Winston Churchill that are not as profound as that. Some of you have read a little bit of Churchill, but they say that one day, Lady Astor, who was also in the Parliament, I don't know if she was House of Commons or if she was in the other House of Parliament, other side of Parliament, but she said they did not get along. Lady Astor and Winston Churchill did not get along. And she said to him one day, Winston, if I were your wife, I would poison your coffee. To which he said, Lady Astor, if you were my wife, I would drink that coffee. I would drink it. Said some other things that I won't repeat here, but he did promise the people of England. He said, I have nothing to promise you. And I'm going to read a bit of that speech to you. Nothing to promise you but blood, sweat, toil, and tears. Others quoted or used a variance of that quote. And before him, there was Giuseppe Garibaldi in July 2nd, 1849. He promised that. Teddy Roosevelt promised something like that in 1897. But Churchill's words live on. Listen to them in their context, not the whole speech. He said this, we are in the preliminary stage of one of the greatest battles in history. I wish I had a good English accent to read this. He said that we are in action at many points in Norway and Holland, Mediterranean. The air battle is continuous. Many preparations have to be made here at home. He said, I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood and toil, tears and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. And you ask, what is our policy? I will say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can say in one word, victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. And that was a horrible time in human history. How many nations were impacted? How many nations lost sons and daughters, fathers and mothers in that battle? But Winston Churchill and Giuseppe Garibaldi and Teddy Roosevelt and Lee Cooper, obviously, were not the first to coin that phrase, blood, sweat, and tears. There was a preacher in Wales. His name was Christmas Evans. And in 1837, so it would have been before that, in 1837, you can still find this quote in his book of collected sermons. He said, Christ, the high priest of our profession, when he laid down his life for us, was bathed in his own blood and sweat and tears. But before Christmas, Evans spoke about it, Jesus did it. In the handout that you were given today, I asked a question. How can a day filled with such apparent evil, intense brutality, and gross injustice be considered good? It's only because we know what it accomplished. And why do we gather? Why do we do this every year? To tell this horrific story again, to remind ourselves of the pain that Jesus felt that was inflicted upon him with heavy spikes hammered through his flesh, probably between the bones in his wrist. The spear that pierced his side at the end, but the spike that was nailed through his heels or somewhere around his feet. The thorns that were pushed down upon his head, both to cause pain and to mock him. And probably you can break this down, unpack it any way you want, but he was stripped or nearly stripped naked on the cross, the humiliation of it all. Why do we come back to this scene again and again and tell the events of this horrific day? Because we can't forget. Pastor David Trujillo, who was here a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and then he preached here. And you know, some of you that were here, you know about the death of his brother-in-law, who was gunned down on the streets of Los Angeles. The Wednesday that David was here, he said, let me show you something. And he took out his phone and he pulled up a video. And it was the video from the security camera recording the moment of the death of his brother-in-law. I thought to myself, how can you keep that? But how could he erase that? How could he ever forget what happened to his brother that day? The scene that, and I looked at the scene. Thank God there was no audio to it. But he doesn't want to forget the end of his brother's life. Now his brother, that wasn't the end of his brother's life. His brother is with Jesus now in heaven. He had gotten right with Christ before he passed away. But why do we come back here every year? Because we cannot forget what he did for us. How many of you have never seen this shirt that I'm wearing right now? Anybody never seen? How many of you were here the day that I did this shirt without really thinking it through? You've seen the paintings out in the cafe. For those of you that don't know, this is related to that. And that was on purpose. We had an artist here that through the worship had those three plywood panels up here, and he painted the hands, the right and the left hand, and the head of Christ with his hand. He had the bright red paint in a paint pan, and he was applying it with his hand. And as I sat there looking at his hand, I was sitting right here in the front row. I couldn't help but think about the bloodied hand of Jesus, obviously, that covered our sins. And this thought came to me. I came up here, and I picked up the paint pan, and I said, all of this that we're talking about the death of Jesus, it's just religious details. Just religious information until we, and then I put my hand down in that paint and I put it on my shirt. I know some of you thought this was a slapfish fish taco shirt. It's not. I put my red hand on my chest and I said, and until we ask Christ by his blood to cover our sins, it's just religious details. There was a moment when I was standing there thinking, I wish I would have worn a cheaper shirt today than this shirt. And I do wear it more than just on Good Friday, but that truth has to be applied to our hearts. Why do we insist on this sad, sobering reminder? Well, listen, knowing what Jesus suffered for us, it gives, as I said while we were worshiping, it gives definition to God's love for us and the danger that we were in. God would not have gone to that extent as Jesus prayed if there was any other way. To accomplish the end result of your salvation. It had to happen just like that. We see when we look at this scene, and I hope you don't just come to this scene once a year. Hope you open up to that scene at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over again. But knowing what Jesus suffered gives definition to God's love and obviously to the courage of Jesus. the commitment to the plan of God. Remembering those final steps leading from the garden to the grave, it reminds us that this was not an accident. Jesus purposely put himself in harm's way to cause our rescue, to bring us home to God. All this week, for this week, I was asked to prepare the K-Wave Scripture of the Day devos. And I get them and they say, okay, here's what you say to begin with. Here's what you say in the middle. This is the verse that you'll read and comment for 30 seconds. How many of you wonder how in the world I say anything for 30 seconds? Some of you have heard those, but I was really thrilled to be able to get to do that for this week especially. So much so that I called and I asked Lance Emma, who runs a station, can I change the first verse that you gave me for Monday? Because it doesn't really seem to fit with Holy Week. He looked at me and he said, well, you're Bill Welsh. You can do whatever you want to do. I wish more people felt that way. I don't know, really know what he meant by that. So I did change that, but I want to read a couple of these to you. Here's how they appear. Only the first one will I read like this. Hi, this is Pastor Bill Welsh of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, with the kwave.com Bible verse of the day, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And I said this is for today. All over the world today, followers of Jesus pause to remember pain, not the pain that we suffer, but the pain that we caused. We see Jesus misjudged by accusers, deserted by friends, beaten, stripped, nailed to a cross, head wrapped in thorns, and left to die. How can we bear to look at it again? How can we not? He suffered for one reason, to bring us to God, removing the sin that separates us from our Creator. So look closely today. Because this is love, God's love, suffering for you. Other verses that they asked me to comment on in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And I thought, you know, how unusual is that for a shepherd to deliberately say, I will die for that animal. There's no shepherd that would do that. They might get hurt in the process of protecting an animal. That they might put themselves in danger, but they would not purposely lay down their life for a dumb sheep. But Jesus, your good shepherd, did that. And that ought to, it must cause us to give praise to him. So this is a good day to take a good look at what our good, good Father did for us in sending his son, Jesus, our Savior, to die for us. It's a good day to remember the blood, the sweat, and the tears of Jesus. The blood. It started in the garden when Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. It happened at the hands of Pilate's soldiers as they struck him and they crowned him with the thorns, as they whipped him with the flagellum that ripped his flesh to shreds. It continued as he was nailed down on that cross that day. The sweat. That happened in the garden. Think about Jesus sweating, working hard for us. It happened as he was carrying that cross. It happened through the long night as he stood there, waiting to be tried from one kangaroo court to another kangaroo court. The tears, that happened in the garden. It happened on the Mount of Olives, days before, when he wept over a rebellious nation and a rebellious city. I believe that the tears fell in the garden where he said he was exceedingly sorrowful, and I believe they came down on the cross as well. As Jesus cried out to them, how could they not? How could he not have shed tears in that kind of pain? He shed tears and sweat and blood as he labored for us. He shed tears and sweat and blood for our sins and for our sorrows and for our suffering. I heard John Corson today commenting on why did Jesus need to be whipped like that? And why was it prophesied? His blood was shed for our sins on the cross, but it said, and we read it in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. The blood that was shed even brings healing to us. And we talked about this in the past, there in the garden. What is that blood shed about? It says he was burdened, he was grieved, he was sorrowful. He said, I am so sorrowful I could die. And you felt that. That's not sin. That's just life. The pain and the sorrow and the suffering, all of it was set right by the blood of Jesus. So how can we bear to look? And again, I have to say it, how can we not bear to look again? It is a good day to take a good look at what Jesus did for us on that cross that day. I'm going to ask the guys to come forward who are going to serve communion to us. And as we remember through this simple, I mean, how simple is this? This simple piece of bread and this simple cup, as we remember how dearly Jesus paid to wash away your sins, listen carefully, to wash away your sins, to lift the burden of your sorrow and your grief and even your anxieties, to lift all of that and to heal your sicknesses even. Well, Bill, what about those who don't get healed? Well, if they die in Christ, they're completely healed, aren't they? That's not a cop-out, by the way. That's not a cop-out. They're completely healed at that point. So I want to ask you, as we prepared, why have we come today? Why do we stop to remember? Why do we do this? How can we not do this? In gratitude for what he did. Why do we name our churches Calvary? Calvary? That was the darkest thing this world's ever seen. But it was the brightest thing too, wasn't it? Yeah. That's where it was all taken care of, because we can never forget the blood, the sweat, and the tears that he bore and that we caused. So Father in heaven, we pray that as we prepare our hearts right now to remember what you did for us and to partake in faith in the life-giving grace of our God handed to us in Jesus, through this remembrance of his body and this remembrance of his blood that was shed. Lord, we renew our faith and we say loud and clear, we believe that what Jesus did was enough. And we come to you in that name. Amen. I've asked Jeff and Alan to lead us through partaking of the bread and the cup. So whoever's first, come on up.
I'm going to read the passage to you. I'll pray, and then we'll partake of the bread together. All right, this is from Luke's Gospel 22. I'll just read the portion about the Passover meal where they stopped for the bread, and he took bread, speaking of Jesus, of course, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and then he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Words such as that, kind of a trite almost, but it's all we've got, Lord, in our lives that would back that up. But we say thank you, Lord. We have heard here in this message about the shame. You endured the cross. You suffered the shame for the joy set before you, and we're that joy. We're sitting here, and we're the joy that was set before you. You did that for us, and we thank you. Lord, we praise you. We honor you for the gift of love for us. For us. We do it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's partake.
And likewise, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's pray. Lord, you are so gracious unto us that there was a new way that we would come to you. And as Pastor Bill has said, Lord, this is a dark day, Lord, for you, but a bright day for us, Lord, that you paid this price for us, that there would be this new covenant, a new way that you would demonstrate your love for us, that by taking on the name of Jesus into our lives, by calling out to you, by praising the name of Jesus, by receiving the name of Jesus into our lives, Lord, this new covenant would be fulfilled. And we know that is true because you asked us to remember that through this juice, through this blood that was poured out for us. And so, Lord, we're grateful, humbled, thankful for that new covenant. And we receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love to say at the end of a communion service, let's all stand. I love that. To me, it's more than just getting ready to race for the parking lot. It's a reminder that because he fell, because he died, he fell under the weight of our sin, we get to stand. We get to stand again.
Holy is the Lord Almighty. There is no one else as worthy to receive all praise and glory. Holy is the Lord.
One more time. Holy is the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and sing.
Holy is the Lord Almighty. There is no one else as worthy to receive all praise and glory. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to rise from our death because your Son rose from his death on our behalf. Father, as we remember today the pain that our sin caused and the way it just pulled back the curtains on the beauty of your love for us, Father, strengthen us with that truth as we share that truth with other people that need to know their sins can be forgiven, their life can be made right, and heaven can be their home. So, Father, take us as your messengers into this world in the strong name of Jesus. And all the Good Friday saints said, amen. 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 Grace and peace on you in Jesus' name.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.